Netflix, stand like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the choke slam on face. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, turn like I'm Tommaso. If you suffer like tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple models. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the frame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait down with that, then I got two words for you, suck it.
Welcome everyone to this very different open for your longest running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman, and I might look or sound a little bit different here for the open. It is just the open and the close that will sound like this and look like this. Unfortunately, because, well, it is what it is. Right before I was about to start filming this, my little connection thing that I plugged my microphone and my camera and all of that sort of thing, that decided to shit itself at like 9:30 at night. So that's just great for someone who wants to do this. So we're going off the seat of our, we're going off just like the normal generic camera that comes with the computer and the microphone that comes with the computer as well for this open. So I soldiered through because this is an important episode to get out, I thought, and I want to get it out to you people as quickly as possible and as good as I can. And unfortunately, this is the best I can do at the moment. So a bit of fun stuff at the start, I guess, this past week. I hope you out enjoyed local pro wrestling this past weekend. I actually wrestled this past weekend and undefeated. Went to Venom Pro Wrestling and had a match, and this is how it ended. So there you go. Don't mess with the old man. Oh, sleeper hall. Oh. Anyway, I had fun for what it matters. I had fun. How do I describe this? There's a line that I heard from it's a TV show that I love called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. It's written by Aaron Sorkin, who also wrote like West Wing and Newsroom and all of that sort of stuff. And the line is, the show we're showing you tonight was not what we originally planned on doing. So, and that is very appropriate for this week's episode because as you might have seen on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, where we put up the post advertising the show coming up this week, we were going to talk to Del Cano and then we were going to talk to NHPW because Del Cano put out a post on Instagram and Twitter about problems he had with NHPW and also perceived problems he has, well, problems he perceives with the promotion as a whole sort of thing. And so I got Del, messaged Del and asked if he wanted to come on the show and talk about that. But I said, in the interest of fairness as well, I would also invite NHPW to come on and have their half. Sorry, I've got a bloody dog hair in my eye. It's unbelievable. I would also message NHPW and ask if they would like to come on and put across their half of the story, which I think is the only fair thing to do. If you're going to hear one side of the story, you should hear the other. Now, originally they accepted. So this was on the Sunday night. They messaged me and accepted. We talked about it a little bit back and forth. Yes, we'll come on Tuesday night if that's okay with you. So that's fine. I messaged Del. I said, can I talk to you on the Monday night? Because I thought if I talk to him first, I can get everything that he said sort of into my head sort of thing, so I can ask questions and further explore what the topics that he brought up in his post with management at NHPW. So that was fine, and we got together on the Monday and recorded it. And as I was recording it on the Monday, I got a message from NHPW on the Monday night saying, can we have an extra night because we just want to have another meeting and talk about sort of stuff, and which is fine. I understand completely. So yep, no problems. We'll do it on the Tuesday or the Wednesday night. So starting to get ready for that. And then on the Wednesday night, I got a message from NHPW saying, we've decided we aren't going to come onto the show. We might release a statement in the future, but we aren't sure we're going to do that. So that is, I guess that's the case. Originally, I was going to do one episode with Dell, the next night episode with an HPW, so you could get both sides of the story. Unfortunately, now that's not going to happen. So I just want to make it very, very crystal clear. NHPW were invited onto the show and did accept to come onto the show. They were invited on the show to say, to have their say and to put across their opinions about what happened with the whole Dell post. And they have been given the opportunity by myself to come on the show and talk about it. They decided not to after a lengthy sort of back and forth. That sort of thing. They are still, anytime they want to come on the show, they are invited to come on the show and talk about it, because like I said, it's an open forum. I wish to, I don't want to give one sides of stories for anything. And I really do believe that, especially with like the posts he put up, it was a social media post. So a lot of times people, if they would have an axe to grind with a promotion, would take that opportunity. And that is not what Dell was doing. I'll make that crystal clear. That is not what Dell was doing. But unfortunately, social media being what it is, a lot of the times it ends up being a dog pile. And I didn't want that to happen. So I wanted both sides to be, to get a spotlight, both sides to get a spotlight to be able to explain their things. Unfortunately, now we're only going to get the one side because, like I said, NHPW decided not to be a part of the show, which is fine. So we're going to go to that. Before we do go to the interview with Del Cano, there's about 15 minutes into the interview, a little bit of choppy, like audio. That is on purpose, and it is done to protect some people that Del might have slipped up and said enough to describe who he was talking to. And Del really didn't want anyone else getting heat for this situation. And I completely agree with him. And I had no problem with editing the show around it to make sure that these people are protected. So that's what that's going to be. So it's not your podcast device. It's not YouTube that's skipping around. It's the editing of the show, because like I said, wanted to protect these guys. We wouldn't want anyone getting heat that isn't prepared to get the heat for speaking out on this subject. So there's that. So we're going to go to interview with Del Cano after this, right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Three Count Academy in Brisbane are having PWA's own The Rapscallion Mick Moretti for three wrestling seminars on Wednesday the 7th, Thursday the 8th, and Saturday the 10th of April. Wednesday being an open skilled level session, Thursday an advanced session, and on Saturday is for beginners. Price for non-members is $55 for one session or $100 for two, or discuss joining the Academy and learn regularly from Dunkzilla Mark Davis. Please contact Three Count Academy via their Facebook page or by email at admin@threecountfitness.com to register your interest. Limited spots are available, so get in quick to learn from one of the best in the country today.
I am joined here today by Del Cano. How are you today, sir?
I am very well, thank you. How are you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Now, you caused a bit of waves last week with a post you put up about a grievances you have with NHPW, a Perth a promotion. How did that come about? Where you sort of built up enough in it that you decided that you wanted to go public about the issues you have?
The actual tipping point was very minor in the grand scheme of things. Like, my thoughts on what I raised have been there for quite a while, and it's been, you know, talked about backstage and, oh, this, you know, this should change, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't something that I thought I was in a position to kind of speak about. And then it was a random Wednesday morning. I'd been trying to sleep for hours and couldn't. I was just lying in bed and I was scrolling through Facebook about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just saw an ad for the latest NH show. And I was like, yeah, all right, cool. Let it play out. And there was a 2-second clip of myself taking a move from King Shah Hill. And I just realized that was the first time I'd ever seen myself wrestle for NH. Like, that was the first time I'd ever seen my own footage. And I was the right level of tired and cranky that all of these issues kind of bubble together. And I'm like, look, let me just send out an angry tweet. I never get to do this. Send out an angry tweet. It'll be forgotten. I'll get to go to sleep. And then I woke up and it was not forgotten, to put it bluntly.
Yeah. So you're the problem with you is that you're, and it's not a problem because it's such, is that you're such a nice guy that people follow you and will look at the stuff you tweet. Whereas I have my views on some type of wrestling at the point where some people just block or ignore it. So I'm at the point now where if it's not the Wrestle Radio account, I can pretty much say anything I want on my personal account and it's fine.
Yeah, I think it was a bit jarring for a lot of people to see, oh, here's a Del Cano shoot. Like, that's not really something you expect to see on your feed. So maybe that did contribute to how widely it was read and received.
Hmm. So what are your, so aside from the fact that you didn't get footage, or nobody apparently gets footage of their own matches for critique and that, like, I agree with you completely. That's so important in being able to self assess, see where you're going wrong, see all the things that you wouldn't see when you're in the match, because you're in the match. Aside from that, what are the problems that you see?
Well, I mean, also just back on the footage standpoint, when it comes to my personal grievances with my time there, that is one part of it. The other part of it is not related to anything that's needs to be changed. It was, you know, creative differences between myself and NH, and just I decided to sever ties. So my personal grievances are mostly the footage, but at the time it was mostly creative. Mm-hmm. With the footage thing, I think a really good example lately is a couple of days ago. I'm sure you saw this because I know you're a big fan of the guy. Headhunter Rig put out a compilation of all his cannonballs. And that is self-promotion that is not going to be released by any of the feds. It's just one guy doing his own thing. He's not going to release full matches. There are very clear guidelines for what he is and is not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. And he is going within those boundaries in order to promote himself and get noticed, because he's got an amazing cannonball. He should promote that. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the self-review, which I think is the most important thing, the potential for self-promotion while still giving a full distribution rights to the company is something that shouldn't be undersold either. But that's all that there is when it comes to me personally. But the big one is how restrictive they are, their homegrown talent, both their talent and their trainees. So for years, it's always been known, and this was a pretty common thing in Australian wrestling until the last 5-10 years. It was very territorial. You know, you train for your one company, you wrestle for your one company, and, you know, you could wrestle interstate if you had partnerships with another company interstate, but outside of that, that was your lane, you stuck to it. And then in the last 5-10 years, I think most of Australia has pretty much decided that that is not good. We're independent contractors who are, none of us are paid a full-time wage from Australian professional wrestling. And the kind of exclusivity that was enforced is just not fair. It's not fair for a bunch of guys who either want to get better or just want to have fun wherever they can. So as long as I've been a part of EPW and Schwa, that rule hasn't existed. I've been around for, God, 7-ish years now. That's horrifying. Look at me, I'm 26, old man.
Shut up.
I was about to say, I almost didn't get a rise out of you. I was like, didn't even crack.
I debuted at 44, mate.
Mate, DDP, watch out. We've got a new venue. But NH is still stuck in those days. You know, there are so many talented people on their roster that aren't allowed to wrestle elsewhere in WA. And, you know, right now in WA, if we're being honest, it is the least varied that it has been in a long time. There is EPW and Schwa, but as most people seem to know, they are centrally run by a governing body that kind of dictates where both go.
Yep.
And then there's NH. So there are really two big games in town. So right now, if this is fixed, there are not as many opportunities, but that doesn't change the fact that for the past 10 years, there have been so many missed opportunities for all these people. As I said, I can't go into specifics, obviously not my place, but there have been matches offered to people in NH, at high profile matches at EPW, and management on their behalf decline those. And that's just not something that is fair to the people who are paying you for training, and outside of that should be allowed to dictate their own course.
Yeah. I know you had like a particular issue with, I think it was you went to wrestle for AAW and they made you change the gimmick or whatever. That's one where like I kind of see where they were coming from on that, because AAW didn't exactly have the most stellar of reputations.
Yeah.
So I sort of do understand that side of it.
I do understand the reasoning. And as you said, like if you are promoting a brand, I understand you do not want to affiliate with XYZ brand. That is their prerogative. And at the end of the day, there was still some ill will from myself, which contributed towards my leave a year or so later. But in saying that as well, I think that we are all trying to promote our own brands.
Yep.
When I'm going around, I'm trying to promote the Delcano brand. You know, right now I'm not trying to promote the Delcano brand, but there's a reason why I've shoved earphones underneath this mask.
Yeah.
Me, as painful as it was, me wearing just another face, it doesn't add anything to my brand. And it just really didn't sit right with me. And a lot of people, I never told anyone why I had to change, because I just wanted to wrestle. I didn't want to cause anything, whatever it was.
Yeah. And it's so stupid, because you might be mad at the promotion, but you still want to protect it for some weird reason, some loyalty reason, you'll still want to protect it.
I want to protect Australian wrestling.
Yeah.
My goal in all this, and let me be perfectly clear, my goal in all of this is not to try sink NHPW. I think that NHPW should definitely still be there. I think that they run shows that their crowds love. They have a unique bunch of people who are affiliated with their brand. It's another place for people to wrestle. A lot of people in EPW wrestle their shows. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that their talent are not allowed to do it the other way around. And if they have talent, we have talent in EPW who, for their own choice, they prefer staying loyal to one brand because they feel that that makes them a more unique attraction to that brand. That's their decision.
Yep.
And there will be people in NH, I'm sure, that would make the same decision. Good for them. But that is not the booker's or the promoter's decision to make on behalf of the talent.
Yeah.
When you are not paying them a full-time wage for exclusivity rights.
It is also like, as much as you say that too, it's also the booker's right to say, well, we don't want to book you then. Like I suppose it's a two-way street really when it comes to that.
And again, it's a very sticky line. I get that. Yeah. If you are saying, oh, well, you wrestle elsewhere, so we won't book you, then yeah, that is the booker. Can say that doesn't mean it's not a shitty thing to do.
No,
it doesn't mean it's not shitty behavior that should be addressed. And it's, you know, that is a big issue with a lot of people who weren't even NH people, is that they have a very long history. I'm sure if you looked at the comments on the Instagram photo, a long history of blacklisting people for very minute reasons. And at the end of the day, it's their company, free choice, they're allowed to do it. But defending blacklisting someone for a year because they had to leave a show early because their son was being born.
Wow.
Are you legally in the right? Sure. It was a nice thing to do. No. I hope not.
No.
And it's just, you know, yeah, between legality and morality, I think there's a quite distinct difference. And I think that what we're addressing here is morality, but also labor rights to a degree.
Yeah. And there was also the fact that you said that guys in a lot of cases aren't being paid, but then also they would bring in all these talent from international talent and all that. And of course they're all getting any paid. That must have rubbed some people the wrong way, certainly.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, it's the same thing AAW did. And AAW was rightfully called out for it, that, you know, you could go to your local show and see Carlito, and you know that none of those guys are being paid, but Carlito's been flown in and being paid at least a couple of hundred dollars. AEW was called out for that, and NHPW would jump on that bandwagon, but they have been guilty of the exact same thing for a long time.
Yeah. Again, that's the thing I don't think a lot of like fans know, that that a lot of times we're not getting paid a hell of a lot at all.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think a lot of times people think we're making a couple of $100 a show. There's no way we're nowhere near making anything
In Australia, with venue hire fees and it's exorbitantly expensive to run professional wrestling here, and so the returns are not very strong. Mm-hmm. We understand that. That's the economy we live in. That's okay. But if you are able to spend money to outsource to your friends overseas or some indie person you want to bring over,
yep,
it is not morally okay for you to not pay your own local people 10, 15, 20, whatever dollars to put their lives in line for your product. Again, legally, that's how they want to run their business. Go nuts. But morally, it's not right.
Did they ever explain why they didn't do this, or?
They didn't explain in relation to the payment.
Yeah.
They didn't explain. They didn't explain that to me.
Because I know that I'd probably be, and there's one thing I've done, well, I've always tried to do when I was brought into book somewhere, is try to make sure that the guys got paid no matter what, because I think it's only fair. I think it's only right that they're putting their body, you guys are putting your bodies on the line. We should at least, I mean, you can't, of course, you can't pay a hell of a lot, but whatever you can pay, you do. And I also understand if you're saying, if you're a new promotion and you're saying, look, guys, we want to reinvest in being able to get like better production, better thing. Is it okay if we don't pay you for a little while? Then that's because that's an arrangement that you're already making with
100%
the workers. Couldn't agree more.
And, you know, sometimes you will literally have a show where it, for whatever reason, doesn't draw. And that is then a conversation between the promoter and the talent. Say, hey, look, we didn't run. We didn't draw well. That is what it is. I can't remember. It was a Schwa show years ago, I feel, and just didn't draw well. And someone, I can't remember if it was Julian Ward or Taylor King, was so excited because they were excited to hear the booker say, sorry, guys, didn't draw. Like, it was just such a carny old school wrestling thing. But we're fine. We get it. Honestly, most of our payment comes from the dopamine hit from getting given an envelope.
Yeah. It was one of the things that's always remained in wrestling anyway, for as long as I've been, very quiet what people are getting paid or how they're getting paid or if they're getting paid. It's always been a very like secretive thing. I know one promoter that used to do the whole, the handshake. Yeah.
Love it.
To which I used to annoy him because he'd do it and I'd go, oh, $20. Thanks, mate. because screw him.
Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah, I remember the first time I got the handshake pay. I was like, oof, I've made it. Or I'm in the mafia. One of the two. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time you're like, what the hell? Oh, okay.
Oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if you can't afford to pay anyone, and that's one thing. But if you can afford to spend thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, when you're talking about especially these global conflict shows, which again, I love the spotlight they put on women's wrestling.
Exactly.
But if you can afford to spend tens of thousands of dollars on these shows and you don't pay your guys, that is a shit thing to do, whether or not you're legally allowed to.
I'm trying to think of what I've got. Because the when you reposted on Twitter, I don't think you posted everything that you'd written in your...
No, it was more a link to the Instagram, because that's how the Twitter Instagram feed goes. The third big point was really on the trainees, not so much the trainers, because I didn't know about, rather than the wrestlers, sorry. This is one I only found out really recently. I knew, known about their guys not being paid and not being allowed to wrestle elsewhere for a long time. Knew about the footage for a long time. And it was only a couple of weeks ago when, I heard from, and they were told explicitly not to train with one of the top schools. And I know someone else who went through the exact same thing when they went on both times. It was made, I don't know whether explicitly clear or it was very much implied, that the reasoning was because the promoter did not want them to reflect badly on the NHBW school, and that superseded them trying to grow themselves as trainees.
But surely you would think, and I'm not like piling on, you would think them going to train somewhere would just help the school, because they learn more and then they come back and
they would be able to bring back more, and they would learn a new different thing that they could introduce and that could differentiate them from the roster that is all produced under the same umbrella. You would think so, but apparently it was the risk of embarrassment to, and I don't know what that says about their self-perception on their training standards. It was at the risk of embarrassing the reputation of NHBW if they trained elsewhere representing the company.
Yeah, see,
I've heard that from two different people.
Yeah, see, that I very much don't understand, because if anything, I always encouraged anyone that's worked with us or worked for me, I was only ever in the booking area. I've always encouraged the guys, go and train as many places as you can. Like, the fact is, like, I'm very well in with the guys in Adelaide in RCW. Like literally, if you ever go in Adelaide, let me know, and you want to go and train, I'll hook you up. You can go there and train. As far as I'm concerned, you go and train there. Even if you're there for a week and you pick something up, you're better now than you making my product better.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and I,
especially nowadays, because everyone wants to help everyone. Like, the guys at the PWA are just begging people to come in and have a session if they're in town.
Other than last year and currently this year, I wrestled in Sydney every year from 2015 through 2019. And every time, without fail, I made sure that I gave myself time to go to PWA for at least one session, sometimes two, sometimes three, because it is one of the best training schools in the independent wrestling. I think that we are obscenely blessed that in independent wrestling globally, four, maybe even five, the top schools are in Australia. Mm-hmm. And that is mental.
Yeah.
And that you would discourage, or not just discourage, if you would disallow someone seeking to better themselves on their own money, on their own time, because of your own self-perceived reputation, that's horseshit.
Mm. I often wonder that if it's like in town sort of thing, if they worry that they might go to, say, this is just the example, they would go to an EPW training and decide that they were going to train there from now on, and then they would lose that money. Sometimes I wonder if that's part of the worry.
Look,
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that that's...
No, I can understand that being a worry. And if that's the case, cool. Like, EPW is, EPW is definitely not faultless throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, starting off, especially when it was a bunch of, angry teenagers and young 20-year-olds trying to assert themselves. I've heard horror stories of how tough and how whatever it was, but I have been involved in this company for 7 years. And in that time, it was made very clear to me from day one, you can wrestle wherever you want. You can train wherever else you want to further your learning and just improve yourself however you can. If you want resources and contacts anywhere, we have them all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made very clear that, hey, this is your journey. We will give you the best we can, and you are completely free to further it however you... And there were people who disagreed with me. There were people, like I said, who are diehard, I wrestle for EPW and EPW alone. That's their thing.
Yep.
And they would support me when I went anywhere else, because that was my decision.
Yeah.
Because I saw myself, the best way for me to improve was to wrestle everywhere I could, to train everywhere I could, and just gain as much knowledge as I can. Some people it doesn't work. Some people it does. But the choice was mine.
But I know back in the day when I first started at RCW, they were very much like, don't train. We don't want you to train anywhere else but this was like 10 years ago now. I know. Don't want you training with us or wrestle anywhere else. That was sort of just a thing. It was half unwritten, half sort of written, if that makes any sense.
No,
I know for a fact now that that is completely changed.
Well, absolutely.
And I think that's just a matter of evolving. I think is the best
example of this.
Yeah, I think that's just a matter of evolving with the times.
I mean, you look at these shows and you look at, you know, RCW, ACW, PWSA, and you see guys like, you know, Kit Condor, who's one who sticks out because I'm just like, hey, another young masked guy who doesn't tend to be a guy. And he gets to wrestle multiple times a month for different crowds in front of, and he's getting so much better as a result. And it just blows my mind that you would prefer people not to improve.
Yeah.
That's just a very strange concept to me. And, you know, maybe that's naivete. I don't know. As I said, I'm but an old man of 26.
Yeah, no, I've always been of the thought that you should allow people to grow as much as possible. I always see my job as to help someone like evolve into as good a wrestler as you can be. And if that is by encouraging them to go and wrestle interstate, encouraging them to go and train interstate, encouraging them to go and train other places. I know that I was at Venom Pro Wrestling on the weekend, and I encouraged a few of those guys. Like, look, I know you're training at Venom, but if you got a session or something once a week, you can go and train at like 3 count with Mark Davis. Go and train with Mark Davis. It's Mark Davis.
You have this once in a, and like, God, even when, all right, let's bring up AAW again. So I was training for EPW and Schwa at the time. This was around 2015. And with absolutely no issues, I was allowed to take a 1 week long seminar with AAW, which was a long drive, but it was a week long lucha seminar with Ricardo Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing.
Underrated as how good he is.
Oh my God, like, so knowledgeable. So knowledgeable. He's someone who I still keep in contact with because, like, you know, he was like, oh, a guy who can actually do lucha stuff. Cool. Which is a rarity in AAW, let's be real. But I got that opportunity and I was, you know, a 19-year-old trainee or 20-year-old trainee. Cool. I was willing to invest further to better myself. Mm-hmm. Where's the issue?
Yeah.
How can you justify actively hindering the progress of the people that you're claiming are your family that you are trying to bring up and support?
Yeah. Yeah. I see no problem in them doing that. Like you doing that, going away there. Just like I see no problem with people like going to when Davis and Slater and Gavin did the whole, that super series.
Yeah. At the super camp, it was an amazing thing for 1 week. I mean, you know, 2/3 of them are teachers, so they had the time off, but Dave took time off work as well so that he could participate. And that was before the EPW and Schwa deal started working, but we had a few Schwa guys. We had guys like Jules Cannon, we had guys like Leon Tully. They came, they learned, and they were interacting with, you know, some of the best that we have. And they were better because of it. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing because we also had guys from, I think every single state was represented there.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a couple from up here.
You know that, Lucille and Bobby were there, obviously from Queensland. And then we had guys like Jet and Aiden and Tyson from Melbourne. And it was just this amazing conglomerate of young, hungry people wanting to get better. And their offer was very open. And it was, to my knowledge, made very clear to NH guys, you know, you are not allowed to participate in this.
Mm.
And it's also very frustrating. Something, you know, that has been brought up as well is that the hypocrisy that comes from NH is also infuriating with things like this. Because I remember back when, I think it was what would Gorilla Monsoon do, back when that group was a thing, there was a post on there by one of their members just saying, oh, we had seminar with XYZ and no one from EPW attended. It's how sad. And it was Gavin McGavin who commented, like, you didn't tell anyone you were doing that. Like, you told us I'd be there. Like, he will gladly go to a seminar from whoever that person was and make himself better.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a very different public and private face when we're talking about the practices and the intentions behind a lot of these protocols.
Mm. So after you put up this post, how many people sort of reached out to you? So I know it would have been on the side. How many sort of like slid into your DMs just to either give you support or maybe even offer the contrary opinion?
100% support before I so I didn't hear anything from NH. I did hear people from people in NH, but as I said, 100% support, and a few thank yous for saying it publicly. It was far reaching. I was not expecting anything like it from the number of fans, from number of wrestlers from interstate, the number of wrestlers domestically who just like, oh, someone said it. Cool. Yeah. Because it has been this open secret behind the scenes that has just been discussed and, oh, isn't this the worst? And then it just was said. And now it's in the open. And yeah, the response was absolutely overwhelming. I wasn't expecting anywhere near that. I honestly thought that a 3 a.m. tweet would just be ignored. Yeah. Well, most of my prime time tweets are ignored. So why would this one be any different? But yeah, it was genuinely overwhelming and heartwarming to see that people were glad I'd said something. Because it'd be very easy if I'd woken up and there'd been nothing. Or if I'd woken up and there'd been, you know, hate mail or the like,
yep.
It would have been very easy to get disheartened and think, well, that's what I get for saying anything. But it was nice. Also, sorry about that. I don't know why my drain's going off. That's
You're fine. You're fine. So what do you hope will come from this? Especially, well, say even this, because just the fact that, and I'm not too sure how this is going to happen, if it's going to be both sides in the one episode or two episodes by side, but actual representatives from NHPW are coming on the show as well too. And I'm going to ask them about the stuff that Del has brought up here, and we're going to get contrary sides.
Yes.
Del, well, you know, I didn't want to say the full thing because it feels weird.
No, Del Khan is my father. Del, I'm just Del. That's fine.
But yeah, what do you hope actually comes of this?
As I said, I am not looking for NH to fold. I'm not looking for their management step down. I've firmly believe that people are capable of changing and acknowledging their mistakes and making amendments as needed for the better, because we all have done that. None of us are the same people we were a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever. But what I would like is a change in the culture and a change to, hey, we will, you know, give you guys the freedom that you deserve. You are paying us to train. We will support you as best we can. If you want to spread your wings further, that is your decision to make. You know, at the end of the day, the footage thing, for me, all that footage is from 2018 at the latest. And I was a shit wrestler, let's be real, back then. So I've nothing I see there will improve me now, because I have more recent footage to actually build myself up on. But there are people there who still definitely can and should have access to their footage. That is a bare minimum easy one. And again, they can be slow to upload their footage because it's independent wrestling. It's none of our main occupations. That is what it is. But once you have access to edited footage, that needs to be given to the talent for their own private use.
Not even edited footage. Surely, like, you can get just the
Hard cam. Absolutely. Yeah,
just the hard cam is fine.
Absolutely. And like, you know, that's in EPW. We usually have hard cam footage within the next 2 days, if not the morning afterwards, which just blows my mind. But that might be an unrealistic standard for like your workloads.
Yeah. I know for a while there that there was up here anyway, nobody really released any sort of footage. So literally what I was doing was bringing my phone, setting up a little tripod, filming it, and then just uploading it on like private links on YouTube the next day for guys to go, here's your match. Don't use the footage, but here's the match. Just watch it. This is for you, for your feedback.
This is for you. See what worked. See what didn't. See what you need to improve on. See what worked really well.
Yeah. And if you want me to watch it and ask you, just ask me, because I'm happy to do it.
So you can send it through to other people who can give you more detailed feedback. My God, talking about Davis Storm earlier.
Yeah.
The poor guy, the amount of DMs he gets from me every time a match gets uploaded.
Yeah. I feel sorry because I mentioned to you, he must just be forever just answering people's questions. Because I know I talk to him a couple of times a month, just going, oh, can I ask your opinion on something?
Yeah, I've decided that it's not worth my time to message him. I just need to make myself available for his training sessions. And then face-to-face, he's trapped. It's over. But yeah, just a change to the culture. Just an acknowledgement that what you were doing is not right, is not in the best interest of your talent, and is hindering their growth, and that you will change it and let them dictate their own path with whatever guidance you can give them. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah. No, I think it's that old saying. So like, that if you love something, you'll set it free. If it's, it'll come back. Like, if anything, it's just you trusting them to go out and do all this stuff will make them more loyal to you, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, whether or not their guys are loyal to them, that is, that shouldn't be done through fear of repercussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, yeah. This isn't a hit them with a stick. This is a, you work hard, you get rewarded.
Yeah. Not
you do the wrong thing, you don't get booked. Or we blacklist you and you are never allowed to wrestle here again. So,
yeah.
So, you know, let wrestling in Australia, we're small enough as it is, don't make the world even smaller for your guys.
Yeah. And then as much as we're small, we're also growing at an exponential rate. And if you are stuck in those sort of those older ways, you will end up getting left behind.
Absolutely. And, you know, the best example for this, and, you know, like Lena Cross is someone who, despite this, she's managed to make a name for herself around the country because she's been given the opportunity to do some cool things in MCW, and she's amazing. Like, I got to have a series with her back in 2018. She's amazing. I'm sure she's much better now. But think about how much bigger she could be. And there are so many people who came up around the same time as her, or just before her, or just after her, who no one has heard of, who they should have. Guys like Kaneki Wheeler, I think at the last show, he got renamed Cameron Stone, but he is outstanding. Amazing look, great wrestler. More people should know about him. And again, none of the people I'm mentioning are people who have messaged me just in the interest of, you know, heat. I'm not listing people who have reached out to me because that's not fair on them. I'm listing people who I genuinely, if I was booking a show, I'd be like, I would want to reach out to these people. And I know that that opportunity is not there. And therefore, they don't have the opportunity to expand their platform or wrestle different people or whatever it is.
All right, mate. Well, I really hope something good does actually come from this, because I know when you posted it from maybe an upset place, but a good place, because you just want it to improve and get better. So, yeah, I hope something good comes of this. I guess we'll find out when I talk to NHPW what their side will be. But for people that want to follow you and all of that sort of stuff, how can they do that on your socials, mate?
For more hard-hitting shoots, Facebook and Instagram is at Delcano Wrestler, Delcano, D-E-L-C-A-N-O, or at Twitter for Delcano FWS, Falling With Style, if you want some 3 a.m. shoots.
You also got a wrestle merch page, yeah?
Oh, yeah, of course, wrestlemerch.com.
I'm Delcano. Trying to sell your shit for you here, mate.
Mate. You are peddling this better than I am.
Yeah, get on a wrestling match.
Thank you so much for giving me the time, Todd. I really, really appreciate you reaching out. And I also really hope something good comes out of this for all their guys.
Yeah, like I said to you, but when we were setting this sort of thing up, is that I really sort of thought about this for a few days before I contacted you, because I didn't want it to be like a shoot style, like, interview. This is my issues. Because I just want to present both sides. Hopefully we can move to a better place from this. Because at the end of the day, everybody, I assume everybody just wants Australian wrestling to grow. And that's my whole deal.
Yeah. Preach. That should be the goal for everyone.
Delcano, thank you very much for joining me, mate.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll be right back.
once again, big thanks to my guest, Del Carne, for coming on. It takes a lot of guts to do what he did. And I know he'd done it because he was, at the time, he'd come to a realization about an epiphany, if you will, about certain situations he had when he was at Schwa, at the NHPW. I'm just putting every bloody Perth organization into it right now. What he had when he was at NHPW and decided to talk about it. So, and as I've mentioned at the start of the show, NHPW were invited on the show. They accepted, and then they decided that they would rather not come on, which is fine. Like I said, and again, door is open anytime they wish to come on and talk about it. It's open forum. Like I said, I want both sides of a story to come out, and I really actually hoped, to be perfectly honest with you, I hoped they did come on so we could come to some sort of like agreement or understanding or I don't know how you would say it, that maybe that if they were doing this stuff that Dell has said that they were doing, that they've decided that maybe that's not the way it should be and maybe they should. But we don't know. And like I said, I'm not going to go and assume that stuff happened, because when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. But like I said before, welcome to come on the show anytime they want. Like I said, free for him to do it. If you do want to, I'll make sure you support Del Carne. Go onto his wrestler merch page and get some merch. Support the young guy. Great guy. Like the only reason I had him on, to be perfectly honest with you, because normally I would avoid these sort of situations because I only want to promote the best in Australian wrestling. I only want to promote the good stuff that's coming out. I want to support the industry and that sort of deal. But I've known Del for a while now, and I know that when he speaks about something like this, or if he spoke about something like this, it's because he is passionate about it. He's a straight shooter. And so, yeah, that's why I had him on. That's why this episode happened. If you do want to support us, though, please do. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can get us from. Please like, subscribe, do all the good stuff you do to follow us to make sure you can get any episodes as soon as they drop. Also, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at WrestleRadioAU. I'm also on Twitter at Beast Eastman. If you want really controversially old man takes on wrestling, that's the ones you'll get from me. Like I said before, go and support Del Carne at WrestlerMerch.com. If you don't want to support Del Carne, but you want to support other wrestlers, plenty of them on there to go and support. Please go and buy yourself some merch, especially now with because you can watch MCW online, you can watch PWA on Fight, you can watch EPW on their online service, you can watch PCW on Fight and on their online service. Australian Wrestling Network has so much stuff you can do. You can watch all these guys, and now you can also go and buy their merch, because you can't go to their show live because you live in a different state. You can go and buy their merch and still rep them and still spread the word about professional wrestling in this country, because you could be wearing out a Slater Age shirt or a Del Carne shirt. You'd be wearing a Del Carne shirt and people could ask you who that is. Del Carne wrestles for EPW, which is for Schwa. Get around him. They're on Vimeo or some other form. I can't remember what they are, but go and check them out anyway. Saying that, also go and check out the promotions all over the place. Riot City Wrestling just released Super Clash 3 on their YouTube channel. Go and check that out. Really good main event with Rocky Monero and Matt Hayter. Congratulations to Matt, by the way, for winning the RCW Championship. I hope you use this as a launching pad for your career. This is not a highlight. It is a stepping stone. All right. You are now a champion of one of the bigger feds in the country. Go and show them why they put their faith in you and gave you that title. So a little bit of pep talk there from Dad Eastman. Where was I there? So I just went off on a tangent. No real way to support this show monetarily, sort of thing. I have stuff up on Russell Radio on Redbubble, but anything that's on Redbubble, you can anything that you buy on Redbubble with Russell Radio Australia, The profits go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that I'm very passionate about. And as a show, we are passionate about. If you didn't know, we lost one of our, well, my co-host, my one of my really good friends, my podfather, Josh Armour, to men's health issues not too long ago, mental issues not too long ago. And I really do see the good work that they do at Gotcha for Life and Beyond Blue. And I really hope that by supporting these guys, they can stop other things from happening and stop us possibly losing more people to this terrible epidemic that's hitting the world. Because let's face it, it's not just us, all around the world, men's health issues, women's health issues, mental health issues, especially in this time of COVID and all of that sort of stuff. People have really, it's been rough on a lot of people. So that's why I support, that's why all the money that I make off that stuff, and I don't really make a hell of a lot, I'll be honest with you, but any money I make off that goes to those charities because I really do want to support them. That is it for this week on Wrestle Radio Australia. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Dell. I hope you took something away from it. Once again, NHPW, if you want to come on the show, open invitation, just like you had the invitation before. So I really do hope you take it up and we can have a chat. Until next week, where I hope to have Jet Ruker on. We're not too sure about schedules because he's flat out at the moment. So hope to have him on. If we do, we will chat. And so that will be next week's episode. But until then, I'm Todd Eastman. That's my opinion. You're entitled to it. We'll see you next week right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Too sweet, too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet, pour another cup. Let's be busy 23.